live here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Can you climb a tree?
No. Why would I? What? No. Of course not.
Can you swim?
Speaking of swimming, coming up, let's call it later this hour, I have the perfect replacement for Aaron Boone as Yankee manager. Now, Aaron Boone has not been fired. He's not been let go, nor has he resigned. But I think I have the perfect replacement for Aaron Boone as Yankee manager. 888-808-1019. I got you till midnight. Danielle McCartan comes your way at that time. Yankees Dodgers right out of the break. So you get a very spicy matchup for the Yankees starting on Friday in the first series post All-Star break. Let's head out to New Jersey, and Chino joins us here on After Hours. What's up, Chino?
Tommy, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. So I just want to go over exactly what you just brought up this weekend coming up with the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. The importance of this series, man, it's really big. And supposedly Ohtani is out?
Yep.
What, he's getting surgery or something?
Yeah, let me double check on what's going on 100% with him. No, I think he's not obviously playing in the All-Star game, but I think he'll be back this weekend.
Okay, because I saw something about surgery. I mean, I don't think you just come back real quick.
Yeah, I think Dave Roberts said today that Ohtani will play this series against the Yanks.
Okay.
He might be the DH, you know, one of those things where he just will DH the whole time at minimum.
Oh, got it. They're shutting him down for pitching for now, but he's going to hit.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Paul takes, I just want to touch on with the Netflix thing.
Yeah.
Paul takes the time, right? If you think about it, he could put a napkin on a plate for a cosmic brownie, but he doesn't look at the schedule for you. It's crazy.
Yeah. I would send, when I was a producer and I would be off, like off, forget I was slid down, I would send whoever was producing for me an email over explaining the things that you need to do.
Yeah, and then he gaslighted you at the end. That wasn't cool.
Yeah, he was better. Oh, I sniffed right through that. It was gaslighting. It was passive aggressive. But you know what?
I didn't know you didn't know.
Yeah. I didn't know that you weren't capable of it. That's the point here is everybody thinks I somehow am mean and picking on Rosenberg. They see the puppy dog at the side of the road. They don't hear the passive aggressive stuff that comes out of his mouth.
I'm neutral here, you know? I like Paul, but
so do I.
Just being neutral from what I heard, it wasn't fair to you. And he was gaslighting you.
Definitely.
But as far as the series coming up this weekend, what do you think the Yankees' chances of taking 2 out of 3? Or dare I say, even winning one game?
Okay, I thought you were going to say, dare I say, sweeping. So you went more than one direction.
No, I'm not suicidal.
Because the way
I'm
you said it, the way
crazy.
I said, because you know why, the way you set it up, you're like, what's the chances of going 2 out of 3, or dare I say, and then I think that you were just going to say sweep. They're definitely going to win one game. I don't think they're getting swept. I think they have a good opportunity to win this series. Like, look, momentum might be lost here, but they certainly had it going into the All-Star break, winning 4 in a row. And look, the Dodgers always get up for these games, it feels like it, and they're obviously a great team.
Right.
But I think the Yankees have a good shot. I got to check the pitching matchups. That's obviously key, but I would imagine you're going to have Schlittler right out of the gate, I would think. So,
well, it's going to be Schlittler, Cole, and then Warren.
Warren, yeah, and then do we know who's going for the Dodgers as well? But, I mean, obviously you've got a big advantage in the Schlittler game, so get that one. You get one, and then you split the other two. That would be the mentality. Win the Schlittler game, because every time he's on the mound, I feel like you have a great chance of winning the game, and then all you got to do after that is split.
Yeah, it's just the lineup thing, too. I wanted to touch on that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, overall, throughout the MLB, I've been realizing a trend this year, and that's lefty bats. How many left-handed hitting catchers exist nowadays that would never have existed 10, 12, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
A left-handed hitting catcher or a throwing catcher was never even thought of.
Definitely throwing.
Taboo.
Yeah, throwing, left-handed throwing catcher was basically a unicorn. But yeah, even the ones that batted left-handed.
Yeah. Look at all the famous, you know, Hall of Fame catchers. Yogi Berra.
Johnny Bench.
Foley, Johnny Bench. Who's lefty? None of them.
Nope.
So my point being,
Joe Mauer comes to mind as far as
Joe Mauer.
Yeah, lefty, obviously, but yeah, not a lot of them though. Most of the big time all famous catchers, whether Hall of Fame
Jason
or big time careers,
yeah,
they were all righties. Besides
Pudge,
Mauer. Pudge, yep.
Posada was the only one.
Posada, Yep. And obviously, Piazza right-handed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. But as far as, like, the reason I'm bringing that up is because we can't keep going like this, having seven lefties in our lineup every day and understanding that these opposing managers are like, okay, he's going to put seven lefties out there. I don't have to.
I caught it. It's all good.
He's not prepared.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of what we've been doing. Where he could, you know, switch it up, lefty-righty. Dave Roberts does this every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hole in that lineup because he's mixing up Pajes. He'll put Ohtani, Pajes, Freeman, then Betts. He will never put them in line. You know, did Boone forget about that? Or that you need, you know, versatility in the lineup as far as left and righty? And putting Cabrera, the Martian there, switch hitter.
Yeah, Dominguez.
He's not a switch hitter. Mm-hmm. He's only a lefty. Yeah. He can't hit right-handed for nothing.
No.
So that right there, I think that would be, you know, something that we got to look at, getting a right-handed bat.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with you. A right-handed bat, especially at catcher, would make a ton of sense. You could platoon him with Austin Wells, who obviously is left-handed. I would bring in another infielder, whether it's Luis Arraez. Obviously, Rafael Devers would be a big splash, a big prize. But I like Arraez because he offsets some of the things that you already have in your lineup, meaning the Yankees strike out a lot. They hit a lot of home runs. Luis Arraez hits for a high average. He doesn't strike out at all. In an era of baseball where virtually everybody strikes out, Luis Arraez is such a unique player because he does not strike out at all. Another player I like is, and this is all, my focus is to bring in players that hit for a high average and hit or don't strike out a lot. So Jeremy Peña is another name I like from the Houston Astros, shortstop. Now, it'll be interesting to see if the Astros would do business with Brian Cashman, because Brian Cashman, every chance he gets, besmirches the Astros. And I understand why, but he doesn't want to seem to let it go. Brian Cashman besmirches the Astros. So maybe Houston sits there and says, you know what, I don't want to do business with Brian Cashman. He's going to badmouth us every chance he gets. So we're not going to send him a player at all, let alone the caliber of Jeremy Peña, who makes a lot of sense. Obviously, shortstop. He hit over 300 last year. He's been banged up this year. He's been on the IL a couple times, so if that's pause for trading for him, I totally understand it. But he is a terrific player when he has a healthy year, which he did last year, with 500 at-bats, hitting over 300 and striking out less than 100 times, where Devers struck out 200 times last year. And the last thing I want to do is add strikeouts to this lineup. This lineup already has way too many strikeouts. They have to cut down on the strikeouts, not add to it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Rob joins us from Connecticut. What's up, Rob?
Yes, I am the producer of the David Letterman Show for a long time, and I'm going to settle your argument that you're having with your producer.
Okay.
I have the answer. Okay? I produced that show for 20 years, and I can tell you unequivocally, there's no gray area here. You are correct. He is incorrect.
So I, meaning Tommy, is correct and Rosenberg is incorrect.
The producer needs to think of everything.
Yes.
The host does not need to think of anything besides doing his job.
Right. Right. And it's up to the producer in this situation, which was Paul, to have Netflix set up ready to go for me, especially because Paul was in the building that day. He wasn't on his honeymoon or in a place where I can understand, you know, you're not able to chip in. He was in the studio yesterday, and he left not thinking about my show that night, which is the show that he produces.
What Paul needs to be doing is he needs to visualize your show every single day, and the first thing he should be thinking of is you're going to walk in, and, oh, my God, how am I going to get Netflix for this guy? I'm not a mind reader. You are a mind reader. That's your job.
Right.
Your job is to figure out everything that could possibly happen, that could possibly go wrong,
right,
and get it taken care of for the host. So all you have to do is do your show.
That's it. And especially when you have a part-time producer here, you have to lay out every single scenario so that that producer, who's not used to working night in and night out and isn't the glue of the radio station, or at least self-proclaimed producer glue, you are able to provide that part-time producer all that he needs to make sure that my show is good and goes off without a hitch.
you got to get it done. And then, frankly, his reaction to all of this, I'm not crazy about, frankly. It should have been, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And then it's over.
Yep.
But not this.
Yeah,
and no good.
Yeah, and I would imagine working with Dave all those years, if you did screw up or did something, you know, and he would take you to task, you would be apologetic and you would know, all right, I made a mistake there and I'm not going to do it again. But you wouldn't try to work your way around it or talk your way around it or go to David Letterman and say, hey, David, I'm not a mind reader.
Exactly right. The host is always right, almost by definition. You know what I mean?
I do.
So
Ty always goes to the runner.
Mistake, you make a mistake, and that's it. You can't. So I don't like anything that's going on over here. So I think it's time to make a change. I'm
no,
just kidding.
No, but, no, we're not doing that. Yeah, not good.
Now hold on for a second, Rob.
I'm kidding.
We're not kidding. We're not comparing Tommy Lugauer to David Letterman, are we?
Sure are.
I am.
As we should.
Well, we all. You guys need to have your heads examined.
Let me ask you a question, David Letterman. His on his resume, it says host. And what does it say on Tommy's resume? Host.
Host.
They are the kings of their world. It doesn't matter
right.
how big or small
totally,
the worlds are.
Totally
are
agree with that, Rob. Rob, I totally agree that this is Tommy's.
In this environment,
yes.
I am David Letterman.
He is the David Letterman of that environment.
Of late night WFAN. Yes. Yes.
If Tommy tells you that he needs a goat in the office, you know what your job is? You got to go get a goat.
But the problem is,
me?
I would do that. Tommy doesn't tell me because Tommy doesn't like to talk to me.
Okay.
That's the problem.
You also could
well,
ask.
That's a whole other issue.
Well,
thank you, Rob.
But Rob, he could also suggest things. I'm sure as a producer with David Letterman, you would suggest. Now, I'm sure guests came to you and things of that nature. But when it came to bits or show ideas, I would imagine you pitched those to David more than the other way around.
Of course. I mean,
right.
That's exactly right. That's
right.
That's your job. Your job is to bring the king his food and have the king throw 98% of the food away and then find one thing that he likes.
Yeah,
that's
and,
your job.
Yeah, and then the job of David Letterman and the job of Tommy Lugauer is to be the entertainer, to be the personality, to have the charisma, and then to keep the audience. But everything needs to be there for him in order to do his job. If it's a sloppy shop, if it's not the ship that's running, you know, the way it should be, then it puts me behind the eight ball to do what I do and what I was born to do and what David Letterman was born to do.
You can't captain a ship that is rudderless, my
right.
friend.
Right.
You have only one thing to think about, and that is entertaining your audience. Everyone else should be taking care of everything else for you. That's how it works.
Yep. Rob, I really appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
All right.
You're an expert
it, boys.
In this. That's it.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you. Good luck. There you go. You never know who's listening. Rob produced David Letterman for all these 20 years, he said?
Yeah.
That's an expert opinion.
And obviously, I obviously Googled it and checked it, and there was certainly, I'm not going to say the guy's last name, but there's a Rob who did it. So I'm assuming that was him. You know, he's 100% wrong.
You thought he was lying? You had to double check the information?
Oh,
how dare you?
I always double check. When Seinfeld called Chris the one night, I had to make sure it wasn't an imposter.
Oh, you're saying you did this before you put him up. I thought
yes.
you meant you did it just now.
No,
I got you.
No,
you're right. Yeah, before you put him up, you definitely should have double-checked. Absolutely.
Right, and again, there could be multiple Robs, but he said Rob produced a David Letterman show. If you're lying about that, you got some problems.
He seemed to be on the up and up there.
I agree with that.
And he sided with me. And I understand what he's saying, that David Letterman and Tommy, look, the guy that ran the nights here and was the host here forever, most consider Steve Summers a legend. So there's no reason why I one day can't become a legend. So you need to view me as a legend in the making. I think that's a fair statement. Bottom line is this. Just put the damn thing up on the television, and when I text you, you don't respond with snarkiness.
It wasn't snarky.
But Paul, I think if we were to have a Paul intervention on this show, which we would do it in February, we would do it in... I guess we could have done it on a week like this. And we would bring in your friends, loved ones, and we had a Paul intervention. I guarantee you we would all have similar interactions with you where we would all agree that sometimes you don't respond in necessarily the best ways. I'm not saying I'm perfect, far from it, but I think if we were to do a Paul intervention, we would find out. Even I think, I can't say this on the air, but there is something about your email that would indicate how your friends feel about you sometimes. In the way that they want you to pipe down sometimes. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that was created by me.
Because you say, because you're a truth sayer, you speak the truth, but I think sometimes you just overstep. Did I tell you what Robbie and Phoenix, the great Robbie and Phoenix, called you?
Yeah.
What was it? You have a...
I forgot the word, but yes, you told me.
Your complex is that you feel like you have an arrogance that shouldn't be there. You feel like you should be invited to everything. You feel like
and I forgot the word. Yeah.
Well, listen, David Letterman's show agrees with me, and Betty, that nice old lady that called up on the phone before, agreed with you.
And it's not just multiple people have called defending me, and they don't
What's the defense?
They're defending me. They think you're mean.
But that's not a defense. Whether I'm mean or not is not defending you. That just means that they don't like the way that I go about it. They're not defending the situation.
They're defending the honor of Rosie.
They're not defending the honor of Rosie.
People on the line are going to defend it as well.
Okay. But they're not defending what you did. They're just defending you and your disposition and your personality. Meaning there is a way about you, Paul, that you have that puppy dog sort of thing about you. But I know in some ways it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Meaning you are almost using this to your advantage to not do what I need you to do on the show. And the last thing we need here, Paul, and you'll agree with this, is I can't have you be a martyr when you also claim to be the glue of the radio station.
No, I...
The David Letterman show agrees with me.
I am the glue. I think comparing you to, like, your Letterman is absurd.
I'm well on my way to being him.
Is absurd.
We both work late nights, although I
somehow
think
that's the most ridiculous thing I heard tonight.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. You know I'm destined for greatness. So it probably would be behoove. It would probably, so I have no, yeah, well, obviously.
That's going to be an idiot with idiom.
What? The what?
The idiots with idioms.
What about them?
That will be one of them.
What do you mean that'll be one of them?
That'll be one of them.
One of what?
The idioms.
They still do that bit?
Yeah.
Boy. Okay. I didn't even know they did that. Have they used my clips? I'm not even aware of that. What do you mean? What do you put your hands up? Do you not know? Do you
I
not
know, send I don't them work the with that show often. Someone's always listening, my friend.
That I do know. It would behoove them. It would behoove you, Paul, to jump on my back because there's a rocket ship on it and I'm going to the moon. You don't know that? I'm going to the moon around here.
You think anyone ever went to the moon?
No. No, not really. I don't. Made for a good story, though. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. There is a lot of people that want to get at me right now. People want a piece of me, and I understand that. I got the Norwegian folks mad at me for something Ozzy said about perhaps some... Paulie, we'll catch you up in the break here. Long story short, Ozzy and Woodridge, one of his great sauces that he has, in fact, his best sauce, that sauce went to Ozzy and claimed that the great Norwegian fans... When they were at MetLife Stadium, they went into the bathroom and made whoopee. That's according to Ozzy's best source. To which one of our callers, who's on a group chat with people from Norway, Norwegians, he presented that to them and they claimed that that is false. So we're kind of in a battle here between the Norwegians and Ozzy and Woodridge, and I'm kind of in between right now. I got the Norwegians mad at me. I got you mad at me. I got half the audience mad at me. Philadelphia's mad at me. Yankee fans seem like they're always mad at me. My wife is probably mad at me. So there's a lot of people mad at me right now, which is fine. That's my cross to bear. But yes, I think much like David Letterman, I'm going to have a legendary career here in New York.
Let's go Yankees.
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you're on hold, we will get to you. Don't go anywhere. We have 90 minutes left here on the show. Whatever really is on your mind. Mets, Yankees, trade deadline, Giants, Jets. Everything is on the table. Nothing is out of bounds. You could ask Tommy anything if you'd like as well. We'll do an official formal segment of an Ask Tommy Anything. That and no, you know what? It will be tomorrow. Ask Tommy Anything will be tomorrow. What time, Paul?
I'm not in tomorrow. My off day.
Did you not learn anything from the conversation we just had with David Letterman?
It's my off day tomorrow.
Did you
Who's your full-time producer on Wednesdays and Thursdays?
Are you sitting here?
Who is it?
Did you learn anything about...
Who's your full-time producer on Wednesdays and Thursdays?
Connor Green.
Ask him.
Are you one of my full-time producers?
On Wednesdays and Thursdays, I am not.
Okay, so you don't produce the show when you're off. Is that what you're saying? You're not part of the show here. You have nothing to do. So if I ask you about what's going on the show tomorrow, and I didn't text you tomorrow, I asked you tonight what time we should do it, and you put your hands in the air...
For tomorrow, you asked me. I'm not working tomorrow. What time you should do it? You should do it at 10 o'clock when you always do it. Be consistent. How many times have I told you this in the newsroom? You have to be consistent with your segments.
You've learned nothing from the last hour. That's the problem. You don't retain anything that's being told.
I told you.
Even
with
consistent. Somebody who produced one of the great late night shows of all time, you still, it doesn't get through your thick skull what's going on here. If I can't get it
through.
Did
you know that skulls actually aren't thick?
I'm sorry that you're here. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 10:32 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Paul Rosenberg, the legend.
Lugie, it is After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is 3-0 in the bottom of the seventh. The American League, they scored 3 runs in the first inning. 2 RBIs for Bellinger, 1 RBI for Rice. And that score has held up so far. One note here in this game, Junior Caminero, obviously of the Tampa Rays, was hit by a pitch, left the game immediately. Junior went for x-rays. They came back negative. And this is a quote from Junior Caminero. I'm fine. Thank God. Nothing is broken. I'll play on Friday. So that's great news for Caminero. This obviously has an impact and implications on the American League East and on the Yankees. Not that you ever root for injury. I certainly wouldn't. If I was a Yankee fan, I wouldn't want to see any Tampa player get hurt, especially in this type of environment in an all-star game. And Junior Caminero is one of the best young players in the sport. And he's obviously a big reason why Tampa is sitting where they're sitting atop the American League East, but by all accounts, x-rays are negative. Junior himself said, I'm fine. Thank God. Nothing is broken. And he will play on Friday. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Ozzy is in Woodridge. Ozzy?
Hello, TMS.
Hello.
Before I get to your War of the Rosies, see what I did there?
Mm-hmm. I did.
I want to talk sports. You know, I don't want to get anyone upset out there. Sports.
When we don't talk sports, people will call up and be very, very upset. Because you got to remember, Ozzy, we are a sports talk radio station.
Yes, sports.
People have been listening to the station since the early 90s, and never once did Mad Dog dress up like the Marquis or Steve do bits back in the day or Mike and Chris talk about the Oscars or the Sopranos. We always talk sports on this radio station. You don't know that? I mean, it's sports every single segment.
True story?
Yes, it was about a blind crime fighter.
All right. That's very daredevil of you to even mention the legend.
Well, we're kind of on that roll tonight. We had David Letterman, Mike and Chris, Summers. I mean, when you think legends, you think those names and you think me.
The only thing you have in common with David Letterman is the initial of your last name, dude.
Well, hold on a second. I wish I had his bank account, as I said before about Mad Dog. I mean, I always feel like I get compared to some of these people. I'm like, can I make with the money they make?
Yeah, I hate this saying, more money, more problems. Let me try it out for myself.
I agree with that.
I want to.
The money can't buy you happiness. Well, you know what it could buy? Well, let me not get into that, but it could buy you a bunch of stuff. Let's just put it that way, that I think those things would make me happy. But you know what? There are a lot of people that say that, but I would like to try it on for size as well, Ozzy.
Yeah, Colombian soccer fans come to mind. But. Yeah. Cup sports. The key to Giants' success this year and beyond is, and I'm coining this, Smart Dart. You had Start Dart. If you don't get Smart Dart, your whole franchise is going to get set back way back.
I almost want to borrow that from you, but I won't. I won't, I will borrow it from you in the sense that I will credit you for it, but I love that. There was the Start Dart movement that I created last year, and now Ozzy, you here in the middle of July. I think this is brilliant. This is one of your best contributions to this radio show. This is the year of not Start Dart, but instead Smart Dart.
Yep.
Love it.
And another guy, I hope that when Scat comes back, you don't get Fat Scat. You know, that's a brutal injury. I don't know if his conditioning is going to be the same.
I hope it is. I mean, I can't imagine it wouldn't be. But even if we get Fat Scat, I still think we're going to get an effective Scat.
All right. But to the matter at hand, you got producers, nicely produced, calling up. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of people on this topic at hand. But I'm just glad my guy Rosie is back, baby. Hey, Rosie. You keep spraying that arrogance all around, buddy. You just spray away. Don't listen to Mr. Big Shot over here.
Well, why am I catching a stray?
Ever since he's on the other side of the glass.
Oh, hold on a second.
Counting your vacation days.
I am.
Come on, man.
You know what, Ozzy? For how many years here, everybody counted my vacation days. It's my turn to the time-honored tradition here to count the vacation days of my employees, which is my producers.
Paulie has one nickname, The Glue.
But he's
and
not
that was proved again, Paulie.
No, it wasn't.
How Mr. Big Shot over here is lost without you. In Life with the Train thing, when he was going the wrong way, which is very symbolic, and now with the Netflix thing, he's lost without you, Rosenberg.
Well, then you would think, Ozzy, that Paul would know that, and he would make sure that I am ready to go for my show with what he needs to provide for this show as the producer.
The guy was on vacation, first off.
Okay.
Then he's just coming back from vacation.
So what does he need a week?
With his lovely lady friend.
Yeah, with his lady friend. So what is this? So he goes on vacation for 3 weeks and then he needs a week, buffer week, when he's already back at his job? So when can I expect Paul Rosenberg to be an effective producer? What month? How many weeks buffer time does he need?
Forgive the guy. He just got back. He was asked to change his entire schedule. This is me turning turncoat, by the way.
Little heel action in the WWE. For the last couple of weeks, you were Team Tommy. Now you're Team Rosenberg. I see what you're doing.
You got to give this poor guy. He comes back from vacation. They change up his whole schedule. He's got to work daytimes when he's not used
this
to it.
This poor guy, he went to Disney. It must be nice. He got to go spend the
Look at you. No suit for you for the, you know, on Seinfeld. Now no vacation for you for Rosie.
No, I didn't say that. But my point is that he had a wonderful time. I didn't ask him, but I assume he had a wonderful time on vacation with, and this is his words, not mine, his lady friend. That's what he called her on social media, his lady friend. I would imagine you and your lady friend, Paul, had a wonderful time in Florida, not only going to, I think, other cities in Florida, but also Disney for a week or so. I would imagine you had a great time.
Disney, not a vacation. A lot of work.
You see what I'm dealing with here, Ozzy? So just know, whenever you get in bed with Rosenberg, it's the wrong place to be. This guy just went to Disney, and he comes back and tells you that Disney is a lot of... And
it I is!
What was work? You don't have children.
You
got to
walk 30,000 steps in the heat, the humidity. You got to hit this lightning lane, then hit that lightning lane, then hit this quick service restaurants, and you have to hit this show. It's not a vacation.
So let me get this straight, and I'll be nice here. You and your lady friend, you have this lady friend now, and she has decided to share her life with you and give you this wonderful partnership. So it wasn't like you're alone, you're down there. You're down there with her. And you're telling me it's work to enjoy shows, rides, and food with said lady friend. That's what you're basically saying.
Going into Disney is a lot. There's a lot involved.
When you have children, yes. You guys don't have children. So no. When you have kids and they're screaming and yelling, and we'll get back to you there in a second there, Ozzy. When you have children and they are problems and they're having meltdowns and all that stuff, yeah, then it's work. But as far as two people, and I won't give away ages, but whatever ages you are without kids, that's an easy trip and should be a fun one. I bet you if I asked her, she said it was great, and you're telling me it's work.
I didn't say work doesn't mean it wasn't fun or great. I am just saying it's a lot that goes into it. That's all. It was fun. Absolutely, it was fun. I enjoyed the character breakfast. It was dramatically
overpriced.
Wait, hold
on a second. Back up the truck here. You did what?
The character breakfast.
Are you six?
I don't care. We went to Chef Mickey's. I spent $60.
I don't care what you spent. You walked into a character breakfast, which is basically all families. It's a bunch of four-year-olds that want to meet Cinderella. The girls want to, you know, meet Cinderella, and
Mickey,
so do the boys, by the way.
Mickey, Minnie, no. Goofy, Pluto, and Donald Duck.
The only thing that's goofy is you and your lady friend. Two adults with no kids showing up at a character breakfast without children. I'm surprised they let you in. What do you mean you showed up at the character breakfast?
We went to the character breakfast.
You can't show up at a character breakfast without kids.
Of course you can.
Is the Lady and the Tramp Disney or is that another?
That's Disney.
Right. Hey, Rosie. Listen. Let's look at the cup half full. Number one. Disney couldn't have been more difficult in the heat and the humidity and the walking than having to come back to this petulant child, little Tommy
Hold
boy.
Hold on a second.
Having a meltdown that he's talking about kids in Disney having. He's having one right now.
Well, Ozzy, let me tell you why. Because many years ago, Tommy wanted to go to Disney, and I offered to go to Disney with him, and he didn't want to go.
Of course I didn't want to go with you. I'm not
placing his frustration on you.
He's jealous.
Two males in their 30s, not that there's anything wrong with this, should not be going to Disney together.
He's jealous that I got the carriage at breakfast and he didn't.
It sounds to me like you're spot on. And another thing that it sounds to me like...
I do love Disney.
What's that? You wanted to go to Disney with Rosenberg. No, he took his lady friend, and you're having a little bit of jealousy and envy right now.
No. I don't like you guys teaming up on me. This isn't the bathroom stalls, and we're not Norwegians. There's no teaming up. So I don't want any type of situation here where you and Paul are, by the way, according to Ozzy's source with the Norwegians. Let me just put that out there, reportedly. But I don't need the teaming up here. Yes, I love Disney. Yes, I like going to Disney. Yes, my wife hates it. But in no way, shape, or form was I jealous of Paul and his lady friend getting to spend time with Donald Duck and a pancake in front of him.
Waffle. Well,
Rosie, this is all telling me you have hand. Because, number one, his lovely wife doesn't want to go to Disney. You as his best friend...
He's not my best
friend. ...are his only option to get down to Disney.
Most certainly
so
is.
So between that and that he's lost without you, and he can't figure out anything at work without you, he can't figure out the train system without you...
That's true.
Rosenberg, this is the turning point in your work relationship right now. You have hand, baby.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I appreciate you for always championing me.
Well, wait till you're off again. He'll stab you in the back, but don't worry.
No, listen.
No, I am listening.
I only champion the truth.
No, you're not championing the truth. You're championing your side of the truth.
Your whole show fell apart without the
glue. It didn't fall apart! What does that mean, it fell apart?
You were crying on the radio last night. You've been crying all month. When is he coming back, counting his vacation days? Which he's entitled to.
He is entitled to them, but why? But in a row? He should take all of them in a row? He was gone for 3 months, basically.
Working with you, I would take off for an entire year.
Well, that feels a little below the belt.
My Lord.
I'm a great boss.
A great boss?
Yeah.
You throw the guy under the bus in the broadest of daylight.
Okay, but then I pick him up and dust him off. No. It's not factual, Ozzy, and I've had enough out of you tonight. This is twice in a week now that you called, which is fine. You could call back as many times as you want. But I throw him under the bus, and then I pick him up, and I dust him off. In no way, shape, or form did I want to be a third wheel in the Rosenberg lady friend.
No one's asking to be a
Disney sex romp or whatever was going on down there.
No one is asking about a third wheel or a romper. No one is saying that.
You and Ozzy just said that you accused me of having FOMO or jealousy.
Well, he did. I did not.
No, but you went along with it. You didn't step in.
I just said that there was a time many years ago where me and you lightly discussed going to Disney together.
No, and I never lightly discussed going anywhere. There's no way. See, this is a thing, and this is going to spark another controversial thing here because this happened. When did we do this? This was maybe a couple months ago. It came up where I will not share a dessert with you. You have often, when we have been hanging out socially, have gone out to dinner or whatever, you want to split a dessert. Under no circumstances am I splitting a dessert with you. We are not going out to dinner and then having the waitress come by and bring us one plate with two spoons. I'm not doing that. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm not doing that with you. Same thing. In my 30s, me, you, two males going down there to Disney, not that there's anything wrong with that, I'm not going to go and have that type of trip. So no, it was never discussed.
It was, and the fact that you don't want to admit it is...
Is what?
Weak.
It's not weak. It never happened. And I wasn't jealous. Do I wish my wife would love to go to Disney? Of course. Do I think it's work? No, I love it. Are you guys going back?
Maybe at one point.
Can you ever give a straight answer?
I don't know if we're going back.
Can you give a straight answer to the question of whatever? You can't even give a straight answer to me asking you a question if you ever give a straight answer or not. Even that question, you couldn't give a straight
Funny
answer.
Funny story about Disney.
Yes or no?
The first day we were there,
nobody cares.
We get free entry to a water park. So we went to Typhoon Lagoon, not Blizzard Beach. We go to Typhoon Lagoon, and it's 9,000 degrees there. The first thing I do, I got to get in the wave pool.
No, you did not go in the wave. That was the first ride you go on in the wave pool?
It's not a ride, but... It's an attraction.
Oh,
so I go in
the
wave pool, and this thing is huge, and the first wave is coming.
Yeah.
and I hyperextend my calf, and I'm limping around Disney the rest of the trip. I can't move. I'm like stuck in the wave pool. I'm limping out.
You're trying to tell me that you first stop went into a wave pool, and let me make sure I'm quoting you correctly here. You hyperextended your knee.
Calf.
Calf. And then you limped around Disney the rest of the trip.
Maybe not.
Were there no motorized wheelchairs for
maybe
you to
ride around?
Maybe
limping is a bit strong, but there was a bruising there. I'll show you in the break.
I don't want to see your leg.
Show them my calf.
I don't want to see your calf. I don't want to see any bruising. How did the lady friend take this? She's right, by the way. The pause there, meaning she's on my side. Because I'd be the same exact way.
I battled back.
Battled back! You didn't tear your Achilles. You went into a wave pool, and you might have stubbed your toe. Meanwhile, you're telling everybody
the power of the current of the wave.
The current? It wasn't a tsunami. It's a wave
pool
at Blizzard Beach.
Those are strong. It was Typhoon Lagoon. Those are strong waves. And if you've ever been to Disney, 888-808-1019, you can tell Tommy how strong those waves are in the pool.
I'm never splitting a dessert with you, and clearly off of this conversation, I wouldn't even dream of doing a double date down to Disney now. That's why I asked you that question, to see if maybe we could parlay it into a trip where I take my wife and you take your lady friend. But I'm not
going to double date down there.
No, I don't, based on the story you just told me, because the last thing I want is somehow we go to, I don't know, Epcot, and you get hurt and you can no longer handle the trip.
Oh, no, I went on all the rides. Wonderful. Tron was really fun.
Great ride.
Guardians of the Galaxy, best.
I agree. At Epcot, the best ride there. Amazing. Did it break down at all when you were online? It broke down for me when I was
The Star Wars Rise of the Resistance broke when I was on the
same
ride.
Same thing. That ride breaks all the time. You got to get the Fast Pass. Not just the Fast Pass. You got to pay extra. So it's not the Lightning Lane. It's the extra Fast Pass. But it's worth it because the ride breaks down so much. So when it breaks down and you have that pass, they just reimburse that and you could skip the line again. So even if you have to skip the line 16 times and it breaks down 16 times, you don't have to wait 14 hours for it to... Because I've not had the pass for that, and I've waited forever, and then you get to the front, and then it breaks down. It's the worst. So that would be my recommendation there.
Yeah.
It is After Hours, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Carrie's in Sayreville, New Jersey. Carrie, what's going on?
I'm sorry, what's the name of the show?
What did I call it?
What do we call the show?
What did I call it? After Hours. But that's what the upper management told me
after
to call it.
After Hours with Rosie or no. With Tommy Lugauer?
No, it's with me. It's only with him here when he's here once a month.
Because it sounds like, I don't know, there was one live sporting event on TV yesterday, and if the show is named after you, I feel like it kind of might be your responsibility to make sure before you head in that, you know.
Well, I did.
Access
I did.
To.
I texted him.
Yeah, but, I mean, a text to somebody that's not working that day.
He was.
Seems a little.
He was working.
Like a half-assed. Yeah, but not for you.
But wouldn't you think he's always...
He's the glue. Many people need...
Well, let me ask you this.
Rosie, I don't know if you understand that.
I agree with that.
He's been working on the morning show. He's all over the place.
He's all over the place.
He can't be holding your hand...
He can't.
...when the show is named after you.
But let me ask you this.
To make sure...
Well, hold on a second,
...the one show is on.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Is Justin only your husband when he's around you or when he's not around you? I would think you would imagine you want to do your husbandly duties even when you're not together. Fair? And we are sort of like work wives here, meaning we are in a relationship. So even if he's not technically here, he still should be here if I need him. Make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, I also share a dessert with my husband. Do you share it? And you don't share a dessert with...
Sure, you really think... Oh, no, so. Ask Justin this, because he's a big dessert guy. Does Justin think I should be sharing a dessert with Rosenberg? Two 40-year-old guys were going out to basically Friendlies and sharing a dessert, a sundae? Do you think that that's something we should be doing?
That'd be the wrong person. He would share any dessert with Rosie any day of the week. So you didn't want me to ask him that.
Okay. I was trying to see if he could be an IDO, an independent dessert observer, and maybe try to speak on it in general. But you're right. He's a huge dessert guy. That's why I think he loves Rosenberg, because they're kindred spirits.
Down. Yeah, he would eat it off Rosie if he had to, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know. What is it, spring break? You're telling me you would eat the whipped cream off of Rosenberg's? Would he eat it off his injured calf? Rosenberg's injured calf. But
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But I feel like right now, I feel like it's just, I think you missed him, and this is just a lot of displaced, pain that you felt when he was gone. And I think you dropped the ball, and it's okay to admit it. It happens.
Okay.
But I think I understand you missed him. And that's really what you need to say instead of yelling at him that you couldn't get the home run derby on Netflix.
You think I should sit here and tell Paul Rosenberg that I missed him for as many weeks as he was gone and instead of displacing that anger towards a home run derby?
I do. Totally right. He's the glue.
Yeah. Kerry, you know I love you. You know I side with you 99 out of 100 times here, and I'm debating in my brain in live time if this should be the 99 or if this should be the 100. I'll get back to you on that one because you did bring up some good points there. Let's sneak in a sports call here. You know what? Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. He wants to talk Yankees-Dodgers with baseball starting their second half Friday night. Big one in the Bronx, a weekend series with Los Angeles. What's up, Richard?
Hi, Tommy. Before I get to the baseball, that guy from the David Letterman show, he was fantastic. I loved listening to him.
I'm so glad he called.
Yeah, he was great. Jesus, wow. A lot of information. Everything sounded 100% beautifully. Oh, Yankees and Dodgers. This is like a mini World Series. Yankees are playing hot. Dodgers lost three straight. This is fantastic at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
This is as big as you can get. Really, without being, this is as big a regular season game as you get. Hey, Tommy, I was just thinking of this, though.
Yeah.
I would like a Red Sox Philadelphia Philly World Series. Here's why. We gave the Phillies Don Mattingly. They were 9-19, and look at it, they've turned it around. If it leads all the way to the World Series, so be it. And the Red Sox, if they get there, they were 15 games under. They go play the Yankees. They play the Yankees. They have the worst home record in baseball at that time, 15 games below. They just fired their manager, and they sweep the Yankees. Can you imagine if this carries them all the way into the World Series?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, the Red Sox are as hot as any team in baseball. And look, if you're the Mets, you don't want to get swept by them, but Boston's playing great baseball, like you just laid out. I think they're going to ultimately end up being buyers here at the deadline. They're definitely a dangerous team. They're a team that I think could give the Yankees problems. Yeah, I mean, they fired Cora, and then on the other hand, like you said, Philly fired Don Mattingly. If the Yankees don't make the World Series and the Phillies do, I expect most Yankee fans to be rooting for Don Mattingly, especially if they are up against the Red Sox.
But the Red Sox, if they did this, went to the World Series, it would almost be like the Knicks. Knicks firing Thibodeau,
yeah,
a great coach,
yeah,
and Boston firing Cora. I mean, you can't get better than Cora. And look at this. No one would have expected this.
I think this
would be bigger than the Knicks, if you ask me. And Philadelphia winning? Unbelievable. Unbelievable if these two met. But anyway, short term, let's look forward to Friday and Saturday, Sunday. This is like a midterm World Series, really, especially with the Yankees turning it around like they've done.
Yep.
This is fantastic to look forward. Pleasure, Tommy. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, Richard. It's funny because I feel like I'm kind of torn because I feel like that first series out of the break, you almost need a little bit of a buffer to get back into the swing of things. So to have a series of that magnitude right out of the gate, it almost is like too much. It's like, oh, can we just wait to have Yankees-Dodgers for like a week? That being said, we are very much primed for an incredible weekend here in the tri-state area. You have Yankees-Dodgers at the stadium. You have Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center. We'll be doing shows there on Friday. Evan is off, so it'll be Sean and Tiki out there. From, I would imagine, 10 to 2, then 2 to, I would think, 6 or so, would be Craig and McMonagle. Then on Saturday, McMonagle will be doing his Saturday show solo from Javits Center. I will be out at the Javits Center Fanatics Fest for a little loogie in the light of day, 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. And then Keith McPherson will be on after me, leading up to Yankee pregame. He, Keith, will also be at Fanatics Fest. So three shows from Fanatics Fest on Saturday, two on Friday, and then the final show from Fanatics Fest will be Sean and Tiki Sunday. So you have Fanatics Fest, you have Yankees, Dodgers at the stadium. You also have the World Cup final at MetLife on Sunday. We already know that Spain punched their ticket today as they defeated France. We will find out their opponent tomorrow as Argentina, the defending champs with Lionel Messi, the greatest of all time, going up against England. So it's either going to be a Spain-Argentina or a Spain-England final, and that will take place at MetLife on Sunday. So a very, 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 very busy weekend here in the tri-state area coming up this weekend. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. If you're on hold right now, we'll get to you. A lot on the table here. You want to do Mets, you want to do trade deadline, you want to do Yankees, you want to do Giants, you want to do Jets. Really, whatever's on your mind for the final hour. I got you till midnight. Daniel McCartan comes your way at that time.